welcome back, Houston. This is Angela once again. Thank you very much for joining us for another installment this Friday of Houston Indie Media. We know you can listen to a lot of things and be doing a lot of other things, and appreciate that you join us for the 30 minutes that we have to share with you every week. And again, after the lightning storm a couple of weeks ago, we are still living with the damage from that storm. So if you like what you hear and you support the work that we do, always please, during the show, go to our tip jar and help us out a little bit, and it will also help us be able to get our signal all the way back up to full force. I first met this evening's studio guest a while back, running for the KPFT board, and was very excited about her platform and the work that she was doing. She is an artist, an activist, and ever since then I've been following a lot of what she's been doing in the Houston community. I'm proud to call her a friend, a colleague, a fellow artivist. And Tiffany Poost is here this evening to tell us about her latest project. And Tiffany, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I was really excited when you called me, and I said, of course, Angela, whatever you need. So I'm here and excited to talk to you guys about the Sustainable Living Festival. It's the third year of the festival. This is our first year to be in the heart of downtown Houston. We're located at the Market Square downtown.
The all new and improved.
Yeah, with Nico's, and it's going to be awesome. And so what I think is really cool about this whole festival is that it's organized into townships. And basically, the organizers of the festival found local leaders, I guess you could say, in different areas and said, this is what we want to do. Our theme this year is Love Local, and we need your help to get out local people, local businesses, local artists, local nonprofits, local. So we have, I think, 8 or 9 towns that then sort of work in clusters of those local businesses and nonprofits. We have Go Town, which is all about transportation, sustainable transportation, Balance Town, Trend Town, Brick Town, Casa Town, Funky Art Town, and that's my town, and Power Town, and Earth Town. And then we also have a Paw Town, so we're doing all sustainable pet care.
Oh, wow.
And there's a dog park at Market Square, so people are invited to bring their dogs. And we're also going to have a mobile adoption vehicle from Friends for Life, so people can come down and get a dog.
Wow.
If they want one. And then we also have 3 other areas: Kinship, Kidtopia, and Playtopia. So we're going to have all kinds of sustainable businesses and nonprofits, people talking about the environment, people talking about ways to be more sustainable, local food. St. Arnold's is going to be there.
As always, a great supporter of nonprofit organizations.
Yes, they are everywhere. They're
and
fabulous.
They have great beer.
Yes, they do. And yeah, so Funky Art Town is my town, and we have 11 local artists coming out. Everything from bracelets and earrings to mixed media visual art. I've got glass art recycler who's recycling glass and using glass in his art. He makes these beautiful wind chimes. They're great. You guys have to come out and see his stuff.
So, you know, I know that, you know, being green and sustainability, you know, there's a lot of these buzzwords going around, and people, you know, just think, oh, you know, this is just the latest trend to do, and, you know, a bunch of tree huggers out there, you know, talking about recycling. But, I mean, there are so many issues, you know, whether it's health issues, you know, food issues, you know, economic, you know, social justice issues around sustainability. I mean, people are really making a concerted effort to get into different habits or to learn different habits, you know, of good habits.
Right.
And how to change their life. And so I know you guys have grown kind of in leaps and bounds. You know, tell us a little bit about the support, you know, and how much you guys have grown in the last couple of years since the first one.
Well, what's amazing to me is that the first festival was, well, like we said, it was 3 years ago, and it was out at the George's Market on the west side. And I don't know exactly how many vendors they had, but I know that it took place in the parking lot. So, you know, I mean, when you're in a parking lot, you can't really have, you know, organization, traffic flow, et cetera, et cetera. But this year, we're so big, we have over 50 local people involved. So we... There, like, you can't put 50 vendors and musicians, and we have a recycled fashion show that we're going to do, and it's going to be huge. And so, like, we had to take over a park because it's just so big this year. The recycled fashion show is actually being featuring Hippie Hannah from America's Next Top Model, Cycle 16, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she's local. So, like, that was what was awesome to us, was that, you know, everyone out there is local, including the models, the musicians, the food, the everything. So, to me, and a lot of people, I hear you on the whole, like, oh, you're tree huggers and all that stuff, and I get that a lot. And to me, even if people don't want to think about going green, just think about going local. Because going local is totally green and self-sustaining. You're supporting your community, your town, your artists, your businesses. You're putting money right back into the immediate area that you live in. Mm-hmm. And you're making your area better by supporting local. And there may be people who are anti-green or whatever, but how can you be anti-local, you know? Right. So
Speaking of the musicians, local musicians, I know one of the groups is the Wheel Workers, which we've had on our show. And so, you know, great, you know, they're vegans and environmentalists and, you know, very, you know, their music also, you know, a lot of social justice themes that they have. So it's nice to see them on the bill as well. So.
Yeah, there's going to be four different bands. And I'm trying to kind of find that info for you as I look. But and I think this is the first year we've had live bands, too. So what's cool to me is, you know, there's visual art, there's music, there's everything that you could, fashion, there's going to be jewelry, there's going to be yoga, there's going to be actually a family bike ride before the festival that's going to end at the market square. So and they've got riders, and they've got, you know, spotters, so that the ride is safe, and it's all family oriented. That's being done by the Green Bike Initiative. So it's just going to be awesome. I think some people are going to be doing some sustainable exercises. I know all the artists are going to be making art while they're there vending as well. So it's not just about, you know, sitting around and thinking that you're wonderful, because we are, but it's also about being sustainably active and making choices that day.
Well, I know that when I was reading through the material, I was also really taken aback, you know, because I know sometimes, you know, folks organize events, but in the doing and in the execution of the event, you know, you lose sight of some of the principles that, you know, that the event is about. But everything for the artists, for you guys, I mean, it's, you know, what they bring, how they prepare it, what, the, you know, whether it's compostable, recycled, you know, taking their trash and, you know, creates really, tell people a little bit about that, because it's quite extensive on some of that, you know, like for the vendors, like there's some pretty strict rules.
Oh yeah, well definitely. I mean, we had two application processes where the first one, obviously you had to pay, but secondly, like, you had to tell us who you were and what your art was and how is it sustainable, what are you recycling, what are you using. And it's not, you know, again, because the theme is love local, we were able to be a little flexible with some of that stuff, because even if I'm buying, let's say, a mounted photograph that may not be necessarily, like, toxic free, but it was made by someone in my community, I'm still supporting my local community. So again, like, there are ways that you can look at supporting sustainability and not having to feel like, like, I'm not a vegan. I'm not even a vegetarian. You know, I love meat. And so, but there are choices that we all make to be healthy and to be sustainable. And so the question is, you know, what are you saving, reducing, reusing? And what I love about all the artists that I've brought out is that all of them are reusing something in some way. We have a girl who will be out working with Plarn, which is a combination of plastic bags and yarn, and she makes hats and bracelets and all kinds of things. And it's, plastic bags are like my nemesis. They're huge. You know, the average shopper uses 500 plastic bags a year, and I don't even know if that's accurate, because I think they were just thinking about grocery bags. And if you think about it, when you go to Walgreens, plastic bag. When you go to CVS, plastic bag. When you go,
all the times I go to Ross,
take home food, you know, carry out, all that. So it's just making those choices and figuring out what you can do, and it's little steps. I've been working on composting at home, but I haven't gotten a compost yet, but I'm starting it. I'm getting the idea going. And that's the thing, is just making those choices and thinking about it.
That's, you know, speaking of that, we have a wonderful friend, Nell, Courtney over on our board ops, a great friend of ours that, you know, told us, you know, just take baby steps for the same thing for compost. And, you know, I do it now, and we moved and we got rid of our big compost barrel because it was quite large. But some of the advice that she gave us now, I feel strange, like being over at somebody else's house. And once I'm, you know, at my mother's house, I'm preparing food and like, where's the compost pile? You know, it's now, it's a habit, and it's, you know, me at home, my partner and I, when we're, you know, he loves that. He's like, no, give me that for the compost. And it's, yes, my husband.
Oh, that's
here,
right.
He's
congratulations.
Thank you. But it's so easy. It's a very, very small thing. It doesn't go into the trash,
right.
You know, and it gives back. You know, we're using it, and it's really helping our, you know, our plants and, you know, our garden.
Yeah. It's a circle that benefits you, because you save those scraps and put them in the garden, and the garden gets stronger and better, and therefore your food has more nutrients, and the food makes you stronger.
And I'm not
and
having to pay for that.
And
to
it's
add
free.
It to it. Yes.
Yes. And I've just moved to the fifth ward. And what's really startling to me is that, it is basically what I would call a food desert. We have to drive very far to find healthy groceries and food. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating because there's no way right now for me to shop sustainably because I have to drive my car to a store. I still don't use those plastic bags, though, let me tell you that. But still, so having a garden, composting, saving that, and just not having to go to the grocery store as often, it's just little steps, little choices, like you said.
So for folks that may not be familiar with the term, the concept of food deserts, why don't you tell people a little bit about that?
So a food desert is basically an area where sometimes they even have grocery stores that have moved out of the area. They were talking about it just recently. New Orleans has huge pockets of food deserts where they've rebuilt from Katrina. The houses are rebuilt. The people are coming back, but the grocery stores are not. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, how can we have a sustainable, healthy community when our only food choice is a gas station?
Fast food.
And there's an interesting comment on, you know, you can save so much money by shopping on the dollar menu, but what are you costing your body?
Yeah.
And what are you putting in your body? And you don't even know where that came from and what's in that hamburger or whatever. And so a food desert is just an area that's really in food blight, and there is no positive food option.
Right.
And you have to seek outside of your neighborhood.
Courtney?
This is Courtney, board up. I actually did a lot of research on food deserts, and because I was really interested in it. And I think the scientific definition of it is if you have to travel more than a certain distance to get food.
Right.
So in some instances, it could be a mile, it could be 2 miles, it could be even 5 miles, just depending on your radius. But anytime it's really outside of walking distance. If you have to go like more than a mile, more than 2 miles to get food, healthy, sustainable food, like I'm talking about vegetables,
right,
that are edible, mm-hmm, you know, dairy products that are still good, that are at the normal price, then that is considered a food desert.
Not the, you know, price doubled at the grocery store.
Right.
And at a small convenience store, so.
And, you know, I love farmers markets, and I love that they pop up, and they're so healthy, and they're a great option, but it's frustrating to me that certain areas of town still don't have farmers markets that pop up. And I think that's a really good question that we should start asking ourselves, is why can't we move mobile farmers markets into certain areas of towns that are already having that trouble?
That's true. Are there any mobile food markets in town at the moment?
No, there's not. But I guess in my mind, they're portable because they pop up, you know, and then they go away. And so if they can pop up in one place like River Oaks, why can't they pop up over in Denver Harbor?
For those that are joining us, can you tell us again why you're here, what the event is this weekend?
Sure. The Sustainable Living Festival, it's May 5th. And it's supporting Love Local. That's our theme this year. It's our third year. And we have over 50 local vendors, live bands, a recycled fashion art show. artists, kids activities, a food court, a pet area. Come down and get a dog if you don't have one already. Be sustainable by supporting the animal population that we already have instead of creating more and more animals that we can't support. And it's May 5th from 12 to 6.
And we'll be right back after a short musical break to continue talking about Loving Locally. Jay's calling you.
All you missionary soldiers in Jah-army, righteous apostles serving the Almighty, come rally round Jah throne, cause we're leaving out a road. Shield and armor ready, prepare for battle against the adversary. We've got to cover ground, cause we're moving homeward bound. Yeah. Are you ready now?
And we're back, folks, with Tiffany Poos talking to us about the Sustainability Fest with the theme that Loving Locally. And, you know, we have a message from one of the other organizers, Mona, who's let us know at the moment that right now for our 11th caller, we will give away a pair of VIP tickets to the fest. So for those folks that would really like to make it out and are listening right now, you'll be one of the lucky ones to be able to get a pair of those VIP tickets. So we have Tiffany and Argentina will get our 11th caller, and we'll congratulate them on the air in just a moment. And off the air, we started a very interesting conversation. So Venetia had a...
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to ask you, can you tell us more about Petropolis? That sounds so interesting to me. I'm totally into animals and stuff, and I'm sure there's like a gajillion other people in Houston that want to know about the Petropolis section of Market Square that y'all are planning.
Definitely. Petropolis is being sponsored by a local group called Natural Paws, and they do all healthy, you know, taking care of the animals and the people who take care of the animals as well. And so Natural Paws will be out, and also we're going to have an MAV, a mobile adoption vehicle from Friends for Life. They're a local no-kill shelter, so they take in animals, and they're amazing. I just adopted a dog from them, so I'm a little biased, but they're amazing because none of their animals are sheltered. All of their animals are fostered. So when they have a stray, what they do is the person who brings in the stray, they say, can you foster this animal? And if they can, the person takes the dog back home. Friends for Life helps with spading, neutering, shots, food, all that stuff. And then they bring the animal in on weekends. And they do like a dog show that weekend, and people come in and look at the dogs and adopt the dogs. That's how we found our dog. We went in for about 3 or 4 months kind of consecutively on different weekends looking at dogs. And I really wanted to get a pit bull because, I mean, as you know, we were talking about, they immediately euthanize pit bulls or any dog that they think may look like a pit bull because of the bad rap of the bully breed that they are. But we wanted to get a pit bull, and we saw him our second weekend there, and we kind of kept like looking around and, oh no, you know, he's not the one, or no, maybe he is. And, anyway, we got him. He's fabulous. He's the best dog ever. And so when I got involved with the Sustainable Living Festival, I said, Friends for Life should be there. They should bring out the mobile van, and they'll have 28 animals on site that you can adopt like that.
That's awesome.
And all of these animals have their shots. They're all fixed. They're all, you know, and some of them are in various levels of training. Our dog was crate trained and house trained and all of that when we got him. And he since has not gone back to the crate and now sleeps on the couch, but that's okay. That's okay. So he's kind of spoiled, but. And so they'll be there, and Natural Paws will be there, and there's a dog park at Market Square. So, like I said, people are invited to bring their animals on their leashes. They can take them off the leash in the park and run around and have a great time. And I really support taking care of the animals that we have. You know, again, in the Fifth Ward, we have 3 packs of wild dogs that run through our neighborhood all the time. And it's so sad because, I mean, a couple of the female dogs just looked like they were used in puppy farms. I mean, you know, and they're not friendly enough to approach. But
not to mention traffic.
Oh yeah. And they're afraid of, I mean, that's been horrible too, living in that area. I've seen, you know, more animals on the side of the road, which is heartbreaking. And all I can do is think about my dog who was on the street for, we think, about 3 months running through the Heights. And if he had been taken to any other shelter, he would have been euthanized. And I never would have had my dog. And that just breaks my heart. And what's even more interesting to me now is they don't think he's a pit bull. They've looked more at some diagrams, and they think he's an American bulldog. But any dog that has a jaw is what they say. Any dog that has a jaw will be euthanized because they just think they're bully breeds and they can't be trained.
What does that mean anyways? That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother.
No, I know. Yeah. Yeah. And, but what was fun to me, and what you were asking about a little bit earlier, Angela, was, you know, thinking about organizations that might be sustainable and not realize they're sustainable. Friends for Life, we had that entire conversation when I said to you, you know, you guys are a sustainable organization. You just don't think of yourselves that way. You're not marketing yourself mm-hmm. that way. And what's really amazing to me is they're getting a LEED certified animal shelter in the Heights. I think it's the only LEED certified animal shelter, which means that they're giving back to the community by building a building that's healthy for us, healthy for the animals, better for the community. And that's opening in July, I think.
I think that's the one. I also live in the Heights and pass by there. It's near Hamilton Middle School, I think, right behind it on 23rd, if I'm not 23rd and Yale. And is Don Sanders helping to fund that or something? Because I think it's got his name on it.
Oh, really?
And I was just curious about that.
I don't know about that. But I know that Celise, the executive director, is a great lady, and she's really involved with animal rights. I don't know Don.
Right. Now, are the vendors for the event set pretty much at this point, or...
Yes.
Did you talk about the website? I kind of came in late.
No, we didn't talk about the website. It's okay. It's sustainablelivingfest.org, and all the information there is there. If you still want to be a vendor, I'm sure you can, you know, email us and ask. I had one opening for artists, but it just got filled yesterday. So, and so we, like I said, we have over 50 vendors, and they're all local. And I think the towns are pretty set, but mostly.
Yeah, I think you did mention that you guys have a pretty stringent requirement for vendors, that not just anyone can come in and
right.
sell whatever.
Right.
It has to meet certain standards.
It's an application process you have to go through and tell us all about your organization and what you do that's sustainable. I just got word from Mona Metzger from Houston Green Scene that we are actually a sold-out event, so there's no room for vendors.
Congratulations.
Yes.
But
that's always a good thing.
It is, and what would be great, well, I mean, obviously we're going to have a fourth year, so, you know, if there are people that are interested and they want to become a vendor, give us a call now and you can get in on it.
Or organizers,
sure. I mean, we've got, you know, all the towns you heard about. Casa Town is really cool. If we could talk about that really quickly, they're at all natural home care products. So, and they're going to really be focusing on healthy home care and living and sustainable homes.
Well, we could go on and on.
We could. Sorry.
That number.
So tell folks again the website.
Sure. It's Sustainable Living Festival, sustainablelivingfest.org.
And the number?
We don't really have a phone number.
The number.
But that's the website, and the participation links are there, vendor links are there, but we're sold out. And we are focusing this year on being a zero waste event.
That's awesome. And then once again, the event is going to be
May
5th, downtown.
Mm-hmm. Downtown at Market Square from 12 to 6, and the family ride, I believe, is starting at 11:30, at the square, and they're going to circle around downtown and come back to the square for the kickoff.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you.
We look forward to having you on for next year's and tell us all about how it's grown by leaps and bounds yet again.
Sounds good.
Oh, so we have a few announcements before we leave y'all tonight. Tomorrow, Saturday, April 28th, is Worker Memorial Day at 10 a.m. Southwest Multi-Service Center, 6400 High Star. The concern is about workers who have died on the job. Again, this is Worker Memorial Day tomorrow. And Sunday, April 29th, is the Houston Peace and Justice Center Peace Potluck. This is at 5 p.m. at Emerson. Hold on. Technical difficulties with the phone. Give me just second. Smartphones and all that. Okay. Houston Peace and Justice Center Peace Potluck 5-5. Everyone is welcome. Please bring children and please bring some food to share. Tuesday, May 1st is May Day. Occupy Houston is having a general strike in downtown Houston. Their first gathering at Eleanor Tinsley Park, marching to City Hall at 8 a.m. There will be speakers at City Hall. The public is encouraged to participate in this general strike, which is no work, no school, no shopping. Speak out against injustice and bring your creative spirit, please. Food Not Bombs will also be there to feed the hungry.
And I think it's really important, you know, what we're saying and what I think Occupy Houston is saying. If you work, call in sick, but don't go to work. If you're in school, walk out, stay away. Get your parents to let you stay home that day, but just don't go to school. We're not saying that you should play hooky or be truant that day. But, you know, we can all get sick at least one day a year and find a reason not to do what we're supposed to be doing. But use that as a reason to get out and do what we're really supposed to be doing, which is being out in the streets on May Day.
Exactly. The whole point is that we're doing this together, right? This is a general, this is a national thing. So,
No shopping?
No shopping, that's right. We'll all meet at Eleanor Tinsley Park at 7 a.m. and march to City Hall. And we will also be supporting Houston Unidos. That'll be a march from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., which will start at the corner of Bel Air and Renwick and end at Burnett Balin Park, which is at 6,000 Chimney Rock.
Houston,
we can end that day. Let's don't forget about the dance party at the end of the day.
That's right. There's a dance party that will be held by the new Eastside Social Club, which is, the address is 4202 Canal Street, and this starts at 8 p.m. No work, no school, all 90s music. Again, that's May 1st, dance party, 8 p.m.
And Houston, thank you for joining Houston Indie Media. I'm Argentina Hill, and we'd like to thank our board op, Courtney, and Ms. Foost, and the rest of the collective. Good night.
Do you or someone you know own a local dining establishment? KPFT has a pledge drive coming up. And each drive, restaurants in the area feed our phone volunteers who give of their time to help KPFT reach its goals. Donations of food by these establishments are tax deductible and help community radio in the process. We also thank your establishment on air. Call 713-526-4000 for more information on how Houston eateries can lend a helping hand to KPFT. Ideal locations will be close to downtown Houston and be able to provide meals for 12 hungry volunteers. Again, that's 713-526-4000 for more information. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpft Houston.
You're listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.